This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up 5:30, Laramie Tunsil spoke to the media today. You'll hear some of what he had to say. Newest commander ready to go for Washington here in a couple weeks when OTAs open. Of course, we got the draft. Before that, we'll be doing plenty of draft coverage over the next couple of weeks, including a chat later this week with my pal Eric Edholm of NFL.com. But speaking of really smart people that I love having on the show, I had an idea over the weekend as I was looking ahead to this week and saw the Blazers and Wizards on the schedule. And I was like, this feels like a good time to revisit the Denny Avdia trade. And luckily, someone I've gotten to know for quite a while is a part of the Blazers TV crew, and I think he's one of the smartest guys writing about basketball. And that brings us to today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Wizards and Blazers in action tonight. Of course, you can hear that game here on your home for Wizards basketball, Team 980. And joining me to talk about what I think is a bigger story between these two teams, considering where they are at the standings and where we are at the calendar, is Tom Haberstroh, who is a great NBA writer and analyst. The Finder is his newsletter that you can get just delivered personally to you. He comes and hands it right to your inbox as often as he writes it, but also he's an analyst for the Blazers TV coverage. So I wanted to bring Tom on to talk about the trade that is about 10 months old at this point, Tom. The Denny Avdia trade. I remember doing our draft coverage last year, getting that news like right as our radio show, like this show ended, and we transitioned into, okay, hi, I'm the same person, but now we're in the draft show. And that's when that trade went down. And I still get a ton of like YouTube comments from Blazers fans and from Denny fans about what we said that night and kind of the Wizards' willingness to trade him. So first of all, before we get into it, hi, how are you? And thanks for your time here on the show.
Oh, man, I'm doing great. It's great to be on here, especially considering, you know, we're not at the playoffs yet. So it seems like people are still kind of coming around on the NBA season. You know, the NFL is and March Madness is still trying to keep the NBA down, but we are trying with Blazers Wizards trying to puncture through. We're trying to lift that leg, that foot off of our throats and try to make sure that we can get some Blazers Wizards talk here. I am here for it, Craig.
Yes indeed. So let me just ask you the neutral version of the question. Like, we're almost a year into this. What do you make of the Denny Avdia trade for both Washington and how it's worked out for Portland?
I think it was a win-win. When you look at Denny Avdia for the Blazers, I had questions about his ability to space the floor when they made the trade. They've got a lot of wing players who have struggled to be a 40% three-point shooter. They got Tamani Kamara. They just drafted Chris Murray. They got Jeremy Grant. It seemed like there was a glut of guys who had similar skill sets as Denny Avdia. I did not know how good this dude was. Like, Avdia came in and struggled in the beginning, the first half of the season, to find his way. Chauncey Billups actually benched him, told him, hey, let's forget about it, you know, integrating into the starting lineup. It's been up and down. Why don't we bring you off the bench? You can get your sea legs under you and try to get your comfort in the offense. And once he did that, I think it was around mid-November, Denny went nuts. He, like, turned into this, like, give me the ball and I am going to bulldoze my way down the middle of the paint. No one's going to stop me. And he just became the best player on the Blazers. So it's really amazing to watch how he has developed this season, progressed this season too. He is playing at an all-star level right now at age 24. He's averaging 26 points, 12 rebounds, and almost six assists over his last three games coming into this Wizards game. And at 24 years old, there's only a handful of guys in NBA history who have done this at this age and did not make multiple All-Stars. So if you are having this type of production where he had 34 points and 16 rebounds and 6 assists, and then just continue to play at that level, you just don't get that many guys who aren't, you know, all NBA, multiple all-star talents who are able to do that. And Denny Avdia is doing that right now. And I didn't see this coming, you know, especially after the first couple months of the season. It looked like Denny was struggling to find his way. He had some weird yips around the basket, like he wasn't finishing at a high level. But what he does well, and the Turbo nickname that y'all gave him, is 100% accurate. He is a guy that is going to beat everybody down the floor and get to the rim. And he has more and ones than any player in the NBA since the All-Star break. That is who he is. And given the price tag of giving up, the not just the 2024 first round pick or the lottery pick, which ended up being Bob Carrington,
right,
also the 2029 first pick. At first, I was like, man, that's a pretty big investment by the Blazers. But now I see it. This guy is a future All-Star.
So I don't disagree with you, but I will now put on my bad guy hat, because every time Denny has a good game, I know about it because I went on a mini rant the night of the draft, basically saying, because Wizards fans were freaking out that they gave up on Denny Avdia. And my rant was essentially Denny Avdia by Wizards fans is overrated. Not that he is not good, because Denny's a very good player. Not that he's not young, not that he's on a great contract. But this is a guy that I think on a true championship team probably caps out as a fourth or fifth starter or like an elite bench player. He's really good. That is a really important piece of a championship roster. But I don't know that he's the third. He's definitely not the second or the primary piece on a true championship team. That is a very, very high bar. And it's funny, I say I know when Denny has a good game because the Denny stands leave a comment or two every single time on that rant. It gets caught up in the algorithm.
There's a lot of Denny stands, I'll tell you.
There are. And look, I get it. He's a player from a country that does not produce a lot of NBA players. I understand there's geopolitics at play, and there's a million other things that go into some of the reasons why people are fans of Denny, and I do not begrudge that. And by the way, personally, I love Denny. I loved having him here. He's a great interview, great dude. Zero problems personally with Denny. I'm just realistic about what I think he is as a player and how hard it is to be better than the level that I just described in the NBA. It is a very rare talent. And he had stretches here where he's doing what he's doing right now. They just weren't as long as maybe what he's doing right now. So what are you seeing that you think that this higher level of play that could get him on an all-star team, that could get him poking around an all-NBA team if it's what it's been the last three games? Obviously, it's just three games. But this, like, since post-all-star level, why do you think this is sustainable in a higher way that he could push up to that higher level in the long term? Because he is still just 24.
Yeah, so since the All-Star break, he's averaging 28 and 5. on 50% shooting from the floor and 40% shooting from downtown. That piece where he's able to space the floor on those kickouts is the kind of piece that I was curious about, because I know that he's a battering ram at the rim. He's a guy that he's very fast. He has this knack for physicality that you rarely see, especially, you know, for a young guy. Usually these guys, when they come in and they're just bigger than everybody else at 27, 30 years old, then you get that kind of no one's going to stop me attitude and I'm going to seek contact. I did not realize that this guy was such a magnet to contact. He loves lowering his shoulder and going straight into you. And Duncan Robinson talked about this on his podcast over at JJ Redick's site, where he was like, that dude, Denny Avdia, is so strong. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear on this program, but he was
but luckily we're taping and I can bleep it out. So yeah, everyone knows what Tom just said.
Yeah, yeah. And Duncan Robinson was like, this guy put me in a body bag. I think it was even an offensive foul that Duncan Robinson drew an offensive foul on Denny. But his point was, this guy is so strong. And you see it routinely. He had a game-winning or potentially game-winning and one against the New York Knicks over the weekend. And that's just who he is. He puts his shoulder into you. He's not pushing off. He's just going to go straight into you rather than do a Euro step. And he's going to power through. There is a question of how consistently can he do this, and whether he's a one or a two on a championship team. That is less concerning to me, considering that contract. The contract that they are on, the Blazers are on with Denny Avdia, $15 million for this season, $14 million for next, $13 million for the season after that, and then $11.8 million in 27-28 at age 27. So he's going to be coming into his prime, age 27 years old. And he's going to get paid the fewest that he's going to be paid for the rest of his career. If he was on the open market, I'm convinced that Denny Avdia, at 24 years old, if he was a free agent this summer, he'd be getting $30 to $35 million based on his impact so far.
No doubt.
So the Blazers are like, dude, if we get this guy for the next 4 years playing at, let's call it 18-8-5, basically, he's a threat to be a 20-10-5 guy every single night. May not get those averages, but in the same way that Jalen Williams for the Thunder, you would normally not say, like, dude, this guy's an all-NBA player, all-star player. But if he has the right pieces around him, he could be, I think, Jalen Williams is the kind of the comp for Denny Avdia. Is a guy who on ISOs, he's strong, he's big, he's not afraid of anybody. Can he be Jalen Williams for next to a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? The Wizards don't have that guy, and the Blazers, as it appears, don't have that guy. Is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that magnet, that heliocentric number one, that 1A, 1B guy? And next to that, can Denny Avdia or Jalen Williams or someone like that win a championship? I think that's best case scenario. But for Denny Avdia, he is playing like an all-star caliber player. And I wonder if Tyler Hero, if the all-star was given out after the season, I think there would be more votes for a Denny Avdia than there is for a Tyler Hero. And unfortunately, the way the NBA works is you only have to be good for 20-25 games in order to make the all-star game. But I wonder if the second half of the season was being voted on for All-Star, I would bet that you get a lot more people clamoring for Denny Avdia votes.
Tom Habershaw with us here on the Hoffman Show. So the other thing with him is, like, he's putting up these numbers on a bad team. And again, like, you watch it every day, which is why I want to have this conversation with you, because I respect your basketball opinion. And you actually are someone who has watched a ton of Blazers basketball, which I don't know how that's going for your health, but they're not having the best of seasons. And the thing about the NBA is, like, there's going to be 100 possessions-ish per game per team, and someone's got to use those possessions. And so if you're the best guy on even a bad team, you can accumulate numbers. So I guess the long-term question before we switch over to what we make of the Washington side of this equation, because I wanted to get your take on that as well, is, like, is the way that Denny's playing, is what he's doing, if he was getting the help that he was supposed to get from some of Portland's other young players that have been disappointing, would this be winning basketball?
Yeah, I mean, it has been winning basketball, or at least 500 ball for the last 2-3 months. So the Blazers got off to a horrible start, and then they won 10 out of 11 games. And since January 1st, so the calendar year 2025, they're 18-18 with a positive net rating, which is better than the New York Knicks, which is better than half the league. Like, this is a team that's been playing good basketball, maybe not title contention basketball, but sure, they've been playing better than most of the teams in the NBA for the last 3 months. So they are better than just a bad NBA team. So I hear you that, like, he's putting up these numbers for a bad team on the whole season, but for the since Donovan Clingan was getting a lot more minutes and Tamani Kamara has been playing like a defensive player of the year candidate, this team has been much better. And so Denny Avdia has been a winning player over the last couple months. And I don't think he's going to, you know, lead this team to a 60-win season next year. But you can see that, you know, if they continue to develop this Blazers team, they're going to be a winning team next season. They still need to find their guy, and I think Denny Avdia is developing into that. Like, they don't have a guy who's averaging 20 points a game this season. Anthony Simons is close to that, but they still are looking for that, like, franchise cornerstone, and Denny Avdia is making his case right now.
Yeah, and of course they were hoping that Scoot Henderson would be that. Anthony, Denny, like, there's some options there that of the young talent, but we'll see if anybody develops or if they acquire someone else. What's a deep draft, and obviously see what kind of other maneuvers can be made. So when you look at Washington side of it, because that's the other thing, of course, Denny stands and Portland fans, well, like, whoa, yeah, okay, Wizards guy. It's like, yeah, the Wizards are bad on purpose, and boy, are they good at being bad this year. But when you look at the decision that Will Dawkins made as the general manager to say, okay, Denny, we are selling high. He is good. This contract is insane. Anybody else is going to want it. We got the return. And kind of making the math work on the timeline, right? When Denny's going to have to get paid, that's when they want to start being good. And that's 3-4 years from now. They're hoping they're like really good then. And then, you know, are there pieces that are better fit for the timeline? So what do you make of the Washington side of it? Do you buy kind of that argument, if you will?
Well, the 2029 first round pick, initially it sounds like, oh, that could be, you know, top five pick, but actually it's the second most favorable of three different picks. So it has a pretty medium floor there, is that when you're looking at the potential of that pick, it's the second most favorable of Portland, Milwaukee, and Boston in 2029. I'm going to bet that Boston is probably not going to be in that mix of, like, you're going to be excited about getting Boston's pick. So it's going to come down to the Milwaukee side and Portland. You're betting, you're shorting those two franchises in 2029. With Giannis Antetokounmpo and with Chris Middleton out, and Damian Lillard is at, you know, the downside of his career, the back nine of his career, you can talk me into saying that Milwaukee pick could be pretty good if Giannis is like, yo, I want to play with Steph. And then he goes off to Golden State and they just rebuild. There's a big potential for Milwaukee to rebuild, which makes that pick really valuable. But the problem is you're only getting the middle of those three picks. So if Milwaukee is you know, a top five pick and Portland is a 14 pick, you're going to get the 14 pick that year in 2029. So it's kind of the ceiling of that pick is mitigated somewhat by the way they structured that deal. But you also got Bob Carrington, who's, I think he's 20. Did he turn 20?
Not even 20 yet.
Yeah. See, this is the thing about Bub, is like, as good as he is right now, and we're seeing this with Scoot Henderson when he was this age last year, it's so hard to grade these guys without thinking about their age, but you have to do it. It's like, even though Bub Carrington has shown some promise this season, he's going to get so much better next year. And so when you're making a bet on a guy who's 18 years old coming into the draft and still just 19 years old, I think this is a solid return for the Wizards. And at the time, I would have said, you know, this is a big risk considering Denny Avdia's contract going forward. But, you know, like, I guess my point is there's no high upside of winning the lottery with the trade package. But right, if you do the draft right, you could get, you know, a really good player. Donovan Clingan is a really good player that the Blazers didn't get with a top five pick. And Bob Carrington, also a really good player that they didn't need a top five pick. So on the Wizards side, I understand the thought about this deal. I just don't think, I guess I quibble with your Craig, the way it's like, if he's not the number one guy on a NBA team, a championship team, or a number two or number three, then you got to get rid of him. I think that's tough. That's tough if you're a GM, if you're always looking at it like, if I don't see a reasonable trajectory as like the number three or number four on a championship team, then I got to sell.
Well, I think it's also where you are in your timeline, right? Because for the Wizards, like, they are trying, they don't have any of those pieces right now, right? Do they have the one, the two, or the three? And it's like, if this guy's already our four, and he's going to, by the way, because he's the best we've got, he's going to eat a bunch of possessions. What does that mean for the development of our young guys? Like, I actually go back to what you said at the beginning. I think both teams won. I think it's possible that you can have two teams at two separate timelines that need different things, and they can help each other out. And if you look at Bub Carrington as a young, cost-controlled asset with a super high upside, and Denny was a guy that they had a glut at that position, just like you thought Portland might. They knew they had Bilal, who they wanted to have the ball in his hands a lot more this year. And so they needed to kind of clear a way for the development of their wings. They wanted to say, and they're also looking 3 years down the line when eventually Denny goes from the best contract in the league to a guy they're going to have to pay. Do we want to pay him at that point, or is he going to be pricier than what we want because of other moves we've made? And so there's an amount of both development and flexibility and selling high on the asset. Not to say that, like, hey, we don't believe Denny can become really good, but is he going to become really good in the way we want for our championship team in the timeline we want? And I think that's something I've come to appreciate about how the Wizards think about this. And there's no telling that they're going to be right in the end, for sure. Like, sometimes they sound like they're the smartest guy in the room, and I don't, or smartest guys in the room. And I don't always mean that as a compliment, in the way that that phrase is not always complimentary. But I do think they do a good job of thinking one to two steps ahead of, like, all right, hey, can we turn these second round picks into a late first? Because then we can trade from the late first into the lottery. And if we're stuck with a couple of seconds on draft night, we can't get to the lottery. So, like, I think of that with that 2029 pick too, is like, we're still grading the test in the middle, and it might be not until 2032 with the way the Wizards are, if they can win this lottery and get Cooper Flagg. And we're in 2025. What's Cooper Flagg in year seven in his prime, where we really understand going back in the same way that, like, when Tatum and Brown just won that title and we're going back to some of the trades with Paul Pierce and KG, they were like, oh, now we see the big picture the way the Celtics did it. I think that's the kind of timeline we're on with the Wizards, which makes defending it very hypothetical in the meantime, if you will.
Yeah, and this is the thing, is the Blazers, I don't think, thought they were going to be this good this year, like playing basically 500 ball for the better part of the season, where they're like, the Blazers looked at this season where it was like, we just want development from our guys. And now it's like, oh, Donovan Kling can play right away.
Right.
Oh, Scoot Henderson's taken a big leap this year. And Denny Avdia is a legit all-star. We can see an all-star future with this guy. And I don't think they saw that it was going to be this good this season. And they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, which I think was a signal that they really believe in this core group. Now, there's downsides to that, in the sense that you're not going to have as good of a draft pick this season, potentially, because there's just not as many ping pong balls if you're the 14th best team in the NBA versus the fourth worst team in the NBA. And so the Wizards are making a clear decision, which we've talked about 100 times on this program, is like, pick a lane, pick a vision.
Yes.
And they definitely made their decision. I mean, I think the Denny Avdia trade is on a billboard. Is like, this is our direction. We are going to break this thing down to the studs. No more trying to make the, you know, play in every single season, or try to be the eighth seed every single year and just get blasted in the first round. And I applaud that. It takes a lot of guts. And it's year what, two, maybe three of this
year
project.
Two.
So this is when it's like, the fan base is still behind you. It's just whether this continues in year three and in year four, where we're all looking at OKC and saying, that's the goal. That's the model.
Right.
We're all
going
to be OKC. But at the same time, you could be the Charlotte Hornets, or you could be the Sacramento Kings, where, like, even if you do get a couple guys, you're still going to be in that hamster wheel of mediocrity that you do not want to be in the NBA. And so that's what I hope for the Wizards, is that they hit on a couple of these picks, and Koulibaly and Bub Carrington. They are still so young, and I I hope the audience there in DC can preach the patience that you need, because it's not going to be overnight. And I think OKC is an extremely, extremely outlier situation. And I really hope fan bases don't look at what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren and Mark Daigneault are doing and Sam Presti are doing in OKC and saying that's the blueprint. I mean, that's like saying we need to get a LeBron in the next year's draft. That does not happen.
That is the blueprint, though, right? Even though I'm big on Cooper Flagg. Like, that's the thing is, like, without one of them dudes, you're never winning anyway. So, like, going all in and to get one of them dudes, which the Wizards have really stocked up in 2025, and obviously you're trying to make sure that they are in the best lottery odds possible for this year on a loaded draft. 26 is supposed to be loaded. So, like, these next two drafts are the make or break, but ultimately you come down to some ping pong balls. The Wizards were also one ping pong ball from Wemby. So,
I know.
That is pain. Pain, Tom.
Pain. And the Blazers were right there with Scoot Henderson at number three. And they're happy with Scoot Henderson, but like watching Wemby. And dude, the scariest thing right now, dude, Wemby and Cooper Flagg.
I mean, it could happen.
De'Aaron Fox just opted for surgery.
Yeah.
And the Spurs have the Atlanta Hawks pick as well. So you combine those two odds and you're looking at like they have like the top eight, maybe top five, close to top five odds on landing Cooper Flagg. And look, you and I both know, like, Tim Duncan, how he landed on the Spurs is looking a lot similar to the situation in San Antonio. So I hate to say it to the Wizards fans, because I'm based in Charlotte and Charlotte fans hear it all the time too. They never get lottery luck in the right year. And man, the Spurs are, from a lottery standpoint, they're terrifying.
They're somehow good at a lottery, which I, you know, in life, I wish I could be good at the lottery. Tom Haberstroh, he's good at breaking down basketball. Search for The Finder. That is his newsletter. It's great. I get it every day. It is a must read if you're an NBA fan. Of course, he's also part of the Blazers TV coverage, which is why we had him to talk about this Denny trade from all angles. Tom, appreciate you're very generous with your time, sir. Very much appreciated. And I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
It's Tom Haberstroh with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, let us dive into what Laramie Tunsil had to say when he was introduced to the DC media earlier today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. We'll get to what else happened this weekend, aka our weekend in review, coming up in about 10, 12 minutes. But right now, let us let you hear from your new left tackle, assuming that you are a Commanders fan. Laremy Tunsil introduced today, officially acquired over the weekend. That's when the trade was announced. And Anthony, where were you? Or did you get the email? Are you on the distro list from the Commanders when this email came out?
Yeah.
Where were you when you got the email?
I was sitting on my couch, actually.
Oh, I was at the zoo. I was sitting there as my three-month-old niece was getting a bottle, as we had paused somewhere around the sea lions at the National Zoo.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, Laremy Tunsil is officially a Commander. Hey, look, a sea otter. Too stupid to make up. So if you thought you saw me at the zoo on Saturday pushing a stroller, I did. Not my child, just my niece. She's dressed as a little bear.
Nice. Did you have any accessories? Did you have like some ears or?
No, okay. I didn't have anything. She just was dressed in a cute little bear.
I thought you guys were going to match or something, you know?
No, I don't need to look like a bear.
Nice.
I'm going to save that for the three-month-old, who, it was very funny because it was my sister's, it was her first trip to the zoo because she's 3 months old, and she obviously won't remember it because she's 3 months old, but she kept sleeping every time we went past the elephants, and my sister was like, come on, because my sister's favorite animal growing up was an elephant. Anyway, the point is that Laremy Tunsil talked to the media today, answered a bunch of questions from the Commanders reporters on Zoom, including starting with one of the big questions that I think folks had about his game, which the penalties last year. But first, let's just get the big picture thoughts from new Commanders left tackle Laremy Tunsil on being traded from the Houston Texans to the Washington Commanders.
Been in this position before with the Miami Dolphins getting traded to Houston. So what I learned, don't take anything personal, man. It's just strictly just a business. And I actually, before I left the building, I talked to those guys, D'Amico and Nick, and pretty much they're just trying to keep the young guys together. As simple as that. You know? When I was a rookie, and I was talking to my OG, who was Brandon Albert, and Jermaine Bushrod and Mike Pouncey, they told me it's a young man's game. And, you know, I've seen it for myself. You know, they drafted some young guys and they hit on every draft pick. You know, they're trying to keep those guys together. So I fully understand. Like, they just paid Stingley today. Like, they just gave that boy that bag. So I truly understand. Like, it's no hard feelings. Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. You know what I mean? That I don't take anything personal. There's no hard feelings against the Houston Texans. You know, I thank them for just putting me in this position. And I thank them for everything they did for me and my family and changing my life. So, I get it, man. When I was with Miami, I didn't get the courtesy call from Miami. You know, I kind of woke up out of my nap and got traded. So at least this time was a little bit different. So
I think it's great that he got, you know, to talk to those guys on the way out. They're like, hey, man, look, this is what it is. And he gets it. This is a business. I always do think it's nothing personal. Because if Laremy Tunsil was so undeniably great that, like, he would help you, they are trying to win right now, they wouldn't have traded him. They clearly are okay with taking the risk that Derek Stingley is worth paying and that they're obviously going to have to pay Will Anderson and they're going to have to pay C.J. Stroud possibly as soon as next offseason. Those guys will be going, I guess, wait, hold on. They just finished their second year? Yeah, next offseason, after three. You can start talking about extensions. With those guys. So at the end of the day, like, it is something where if he was undeniably the best left tackle in football and their offensive line had not been a nightmare last year, they trading Laremy Tunsil? Probably not. But Is it the best move for the Houston Texans right now to let him get a fresh start, for them to get a fresh start in that O-line room, and then for them to open the cap to do things like they did today for Derek Stingley, making him the second highest paid corner in the NFL? Yeah, probably the right move all around. So what kind of impact can he make here in D.C.?
I mean, honestly, I think I can make a huge impact. Just talking from a player standpoint, what I bring to the table, pass protector, a damn good run blocker, a leader. You know, I could be a mentor to young guys in O-line room, D-line room, doesn't matter, any position group. I think I can make a huge impact quickly, honestly. You know, in my opinion, I think they traded for me for that reason, just to make a huge impact on the team. So, you know, I'm down to do whatever they want me to do, especially at year 10. If they need me to play quarterback and make a backup Jaden Daniels, then I can do that, running back, whatever.
Oh, so we got a sense of humor on this guy. Hey, Anthony, we know he can be an agent. He does his own deals.
Hey, he was a receiver in college too, man. He caught a passing touchdown at Ole Miss, so he's very versatile.
Look, he's a freakish athlete, dude. Yeah. Let me put it this way. Do I think Laremy Tunsil could play NFL running back? No, I don't think that's a good idea. Would I want to have to tackle Laremy Tunsil if they decided to hand him the ball? Also, no. Would not want to have to tackle Laremy Tunsil. I do think it's kind of funny, two things in there. One, he made sure to say, hell of a run blocker. That's been a thing where people think he's not good. I think the problem for him, perception-wise, when it comes to run blocking, he's not as good of a run blocker as he is a pass blocker. It's because he's the best pass-blocking left tackle, arguably, in the entire NFL, and he is a simply very good run blocker. He's not devastating in the way that Trent Williams is and was. So it's not like he's the best run blocker in the league. He's just a really good run blocker, but when you're the best pass protector, all of a sudden it's like, oh, why are you only scoring in the 70s there when you're the 90s over here? And it's like, you realize that there's 10 other guys in the league that score in the 70s? Like, on the PFF grades? Like, he's still really, really good at that. So I think that's the kind of thing about the run blocking. The other thing that I found funny about that is, you know, hey, I'm ready to mentor, I'm ready to do this. That's been a criticism too, and I don't know whether that's him hearing it or whether he's at a different point in his career, but, like, we'll see on that one. But it is at the very least nice that he seems open to the idea, because he does have a lot to offer. He has been in the league a long time, and he is a very good player.
Yeah, I think today he was definitely trying to address all of the criticism, you know, from Houston to here. And even, you know, he talked about, and it's not in the cuts that I put in the folder, but he talked about, you know, wanting to be an all-pro, and, you know, he's never been earned that award and things of that nature. So, like, he's hearing it all. And only I think he wants to, you know, prove to everybody that he can be those things that people said he couldn't be.
Look, and on the all-pro thing, we know that it helps your cause to be on a good team, yeah. Right? You can be an all-pro. All-pro, the voters, the AP, do a really good job of trying to identify the truly best players. But if he has an elite season on this team and they, you know, finish similarly to where they did in the standings last year, high up in the NFC, you know, 12-win type of team, Laremy Tunsil has a great shot at becoming an all-pro. Obviously, he'll be doing that by protecting Jaden Daniels. Here's his thoughts on playing with his new QB.
I can tell you this. I damn sure can't wait to block Jaden Daniels. He's a baller. And just from seeing this on TV and watching film, and it seemed like he's a better dude, too. And just hearing that from a lot of people just around the locker room. And his teammates from LSU, I know a couple of those guys. Just like a good person, a baller, so I can't wait. Go make my job hella easy.
Yeah, you just block, and if you miss, you go, Jaden, watch out, and then he runs away. That's a neat trick. Love that. Last but not least, the one big issue for him on the field last year was the penalties. He was asked about those today.
I kind of just like challenging myself to find new challenges in my game to get better at. And so every year I try to find something like, hey, I can do this better, or I want to do this better, or I want to be known for this, or... You know, so I kind of just put that chip on my shoulder by myself. It's really just me versus me at the end of the day. You know, especially there's a lot of things I want to work on. Like those 19 penalties I had last season was unacceptable. So that's something I want to address for sure, getting that number down or even having none. you know, I want to keep growing as a player, honestly, as a pass blocker, a run blocker. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm always trying to improve in each of those fields. So.
We'll see if he can do it. I mean, last year he was definitely trying to jump the snap a lot. That's where he got a lot of the penalties were false starts. And I don't know whether that was something with CJ's cadence where he and Tunsil weren't on the same page, the center. But he's a guy that likes to really try to get off the ball quickly. And that helps him be as great as he is. But you got to get it right. And so I'm sure he and Jaden will work on that. He, Bobby Johnson, Cliff, like all those guys will get in that room together and they will figure that out because that is just the kind of operation that they're now running in Ashburn. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, what else happened this weekend? We got a final tonight in the hottest new league in sports. We had a crazy opening weekend in Formula One. We had the NWSL's opening weekend. We'll get you caught up on everything else that happened outside of the world of football and the March Madness this weekend next. And then Anthony and I have a very fun game to play, March Madness adjacent, coming up at 6 o'clock. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Anthony and I have a fun game we're going to play that is around March Madness. And it's at our own expense from a humor standpoint. It could be quite embarrassing. And I, for one, am looking forward to it.
I am too, sir.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad that makes two of us, because there's only two of us that work on this very silly show. Now time, Anthony, for our weekend in review, or as we like to call it around here, what else happened this weekend? Brought to you by...
Nobody, Craig.
Yeah, no, same folks that bring you the weekend preview. Funny enough how that works. It's nobody. So, Anthony, where do you want to start? We got Unrivaled. We got... the NWSL, the Washington Spirit, kicking off their season, as well as the rest of that league. We got Formula One, and then obviously we had all the basketball. We talked about that a little bit earlier. We had some NFL news. We talked about that during the show. Anything else that happened this weekend that is of note that was on your radar?
Nah. I think you touched on everything.
Okay, so I'll go chronologically. We'll start with the Spirit. They opened up on Friday night with a win, 2-1 victory over... Oh, God, who did they play? Why am I now blanking on this? Houston, who looked way better than they did last year. Last year, Houston was like barely a professional team, Anthony. Like, they didn't know where their coach was half the year. And I say that not proverbially. Like, it was just kind of like, yeah, he's not with the team. And everyone's like, where is he? And they're like, I don't know. So that was Houston last year. They looked way better, but Washington able to get it going. And score a couple of goals, win 2-1, hold on. Houston did get one in the second half back. Washington's home opener is this Saturday night against Kansas City. Kansas City just absolutely destroyed Portland. I think it was 5-1 was the final in their season opener. So a lot of the teams that we expect to look really strong, and obviously we'll see how these teams come together throughout the year, but that's going to be a banger on Saturday night, 7:30 at Audi Field, Washington and Kansas City. Then we had the Formula One race was bananas, Anthony. Did you take in any of this this weekend or see anything about it?
I did not. I was heavily glued in on all the tournaments.
Well, this one was not when a tournament was happening because it was overnight Saturday into Sunday because they were racing in Australia. So the whole time change thing.
Oh, yeah. I was asleep probably.
Then. Yeah, you were asleep. So was I, but I woke up and watched it on demand. It's a hard one. Can't check Instagram. Can't check any of the social media unless you want to know what happened. Like, the simple version is Lando Norris, who was the best car for most of the year last year, but had dug a big enough hole early that he wound up finishing second in the championship. He won pole on Saturday, won the race on Sunday. But that does not remotely tell the story of what happened. It was a rain race. So they do something called a formation lap, Anthony, where the cars line up, they all take one lap around, and then they line up again, and then they go. So, obviously, the formation lap, they're just trying to get a little heat in the tires, you know, make sure they got a feel for the car, make sure everything's working. On the formation lap, there was a crash. Car spun out, got into the wall. One of the rookies felt terrible for him. Out of the race before it even begins. because the rain was so nasty in Australia. And it's extra bad when the rain is in the first race because they've barely driven these cars. They've driven them in testing, which is like 1 3-hour block. That's it. And so new cars in the rain, bunch of new drivers, multiple guys spun out. They wound up having the first real racing lap. It took them 3 times to finally get going. Then when they did, there was a key point late in the race where do we put on the rain? Like, it finally started to dry out. Some teams were starting to go to slicks, the regular racing tires, and then go back to the, like, do we go back to the rain tires? And freaking Ferrari, man, who is the most storied team in Formula One. They have Lewis Hamilton now, the best driver in the history of Formula One. And they have the worst strategists in the entire sport, it feels like. They always pick the wrong thing. They screw themselves over. Lewis is like furious on the radio, being like, you guys didn't tell me there was going to be more rain. They kept their cars out with the wrong tires too long. They wound up finishing 8th and 10th. Lando, Norris, and McLaren win the race. Chaos. Pure uncut Formula One chaos.
A lot of drama, man.
So it is. It's why it's the best. It's a fun sport because there's a lot of drama, a lot of silliness that happens, and it was a full-on silly weekend. Then last but not least, last night, Unrivaled, the 3-on-3 league with some of the best women's basketball players in the world. Anthony, were you watching Unrivaled last night?
So I started watching when I saw, I think the Owls were up. They were up
so you missed
10.
You missed the first game.
I missed the first game, but I saw the second game. They were up 10. I'm just like, bro.
And then Vinyl came back. Ron Howard and everybody came back. I missed the end of that game.
You missed it?
What I did see was the first game when Chelsea Gray lost her damn mind.
Yeah.
One of the best individual performances you will ever see in any sport for anything. She just it felt like she scored every point for an entire half of basketball.
She's so clutch.
She just came up, it was like one-on-one, and then there's a couple times they try to double her, but she's the freaking point god, so she, of course, delivers dimes, gets her teammates bucket. They were down 17, and she single-handedly brought them back to make the final. And then, right, in the second game, which I did not catch the end of because it ran late, and I don't run late, Lunar Owls, who have been the best team in the tournament, Nafisa Collier, tournament MVP, named earlier in the day, they're up 10, and then Vinyl, the other team, comes back, and now those two teams are going to face off tonight in the championship.
I couldn't believe that they actually came. And the Owls, they had only had one loss all season long, and for them to choke, basically, you're up 10, you only need 10 more points, and they just couldn't get the job done.
It's crazy. I know Fee was a little banged up. Did the ankles start to bother her?
A little bit, but
you got to play through it. Got to play through it. So tonight, Rose versus Vinyl, I think it's 7:30 on TNT is the coverage. Going to be a lot of fun for the Unrivaled final. That league has been, it's the best launch of a league that's ever happened.
Yeah.
And there's a million circumstances of why that is true. If you have not watched Unrivaled yet, Watch it tonight on TNT. It's so good. Best players in the world, balling out, 3-on-3. It's phenomenal. All right, when we get back, the worst NCAA tournament game ever or the best NCAA tournament game ever?